Not that it makes a huge difference, but I was, you know, based in LA and just had to move in here for the meantime. I'm sorry, I just go ahead and start speaking your timing now. Great. Okay. This is really exciting. So many faces, period. So many new faces, some old friends. Hi. I guess I will start from the beginning. Qualify. So I was a compulsive overeater from childhood. I was born in Nigeria and moved to Fort Worth, Texas at a very young age, where I experienced racism for the first time and just in general didn't quite fit in. So my comfort and my best friend became food. And we also were in Texas, where everything's bigger in Texas. So my whole family, we were into the supersize and the all-you-can-eat buffets. My fondest childhood memories are from going to the all-you-can-eat food buffets and just sitting there for hours and hours and just eating. That to me was fun and a comforting thing. So I ballooned. When I was a teenager, I was borderline obese. My mother is also obese. I never say she's one of us, but she is obese. And a doctor said, you know, if you don't do something about this, sorry, let me turn this off. Okay. If you don't do something about this, you will not make it to your 20s. So my whole, strategy was to put myself on diets. And I cycled through every single diet under the book or under the sun. and that was through high school, even entering college. I distinctly remember we were having orientation and everyone was doing meet and greets and rushing for sororities. I was standing in line for one of the big diet books that was being released at the bookstore. And I just remember standing there like clutching my book thinking, no, this is what's gonna bring me happiness. You know, this is how I'm gonna fit in. This is how I'm gonna make my college experience memorable. If I can just crack this diet and finally lose the weight and be skinny and popular and beautiful and perfect. So that didn't happen. College was really tough. I hit a real bottom. Thankfully though, my college had a eating disorder program that was good. And I got connected for the first time really realizing this was a disorder and got a lot of help, got a nutritionist, all this good stuff. But I always tell this story, please bear with me if you've heard it. But the difference was, you know, the woman who was, or the professional who was helping me, when I was trying to explain how I had this uncontrollable eating, she encouraged me to put nail polish in my cabinets because I had roommates and we had, you know, cabinets where we shared food. And she said, every time you have that impulse to overeat, you're gonna open a cabinet and you'll see the nail polish and it'll make you, you know, rethink putting yourself first before stuffing your face. And then what ended up happening is that we had cabinets full of nail polish and all the food was gone. And my roommates were like, what the heck is this? Because I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop. And I know she meant well, and maybe for a normal person that would work. But for me, things were clearly abnormal. So I moved to LA for a bit to pursue acting, hit another bottom because I really just became completely body obsessed and started doing, that's when I started abusing laxatives. So I used pills, I used enemas. I went to the ER at least like 5 times from laxative abuse. And I would always lie and say, I don't know what's going on. I don't know, I just was this really bad stomach ache. And I'm sure they knew what I was doing. But to this day, I still have a lot of stomach issues and severe IBS from all that purging via laxatives. And so I hit another bottom again, moved to Miami a bit because this is where my parents live, and just, you know, felt pretty defeated. And what happened was my best friend, not in program, but she came to visit me in Miami and she had a brother who she said he needed to be in another program, a different substance 12-step program. And she said, but he doesn't want to because he uses a little bit of this substance every day. So he doesn't feel like he needs a 12-step program. And I was like, yeah, he doesn't. I was like, listen, life is tough and it sucks and it's not really great. So if you need a little something to just get you through the day every day, what's wrong with that? And I remember her looking at me like,
that's your first five.
Thanks, Kelly. Hi. I remember her looking at me like, that's really the way you look at life? I had never known life any other way. So by God's miracle, I thought to myself, well, if there's a 12-step program for people with that substance, maybe there's a 12-step program for people with food. And I literally Googled 12-step program food and found OA. Went to my first OA meeting. It was here in Miami, a newcomer meeting, and felt very out of place. No one looked like me. Everyone was in a different cultural background, demographic. There was a speaker who was, I can say this, he's my good friend. I want to say he's like in his like late 70s, Caucasian, completely different like religious background, just someone who I would never think we had anything in common. And he stood up and he told his story and it was like he was reading my journal about the binging, about the college and focusing on food and body image rather than enjoying the experience, about the purging with laxatives and enemas, exact same, about all of it. And basically he ended his share saying, and now through, I think at that point he had about 11 years or probably more of recovery, I now have a life beyond my wildest dreams and where I wake up every day happy to be in the day and wanting to live. And I was like, wow, that's what I want. That is what I want more than anything. That feeling that's like eluded me for years of like waking up every day wanting to live. So I found a sponsor pretty quickly, found someone that had what I wanted. She had this inner light. And I really want to emphasize that because for the first time I put aside the physical. I think that is most of our things, but something that I'm always having to take contrary action around and really focus on what I really wanted. And she has this inner light to this day that just makes her so attractive to people. She seemed so full and happy and at peace with life and with herself. So I grabbed her immediately. I was like, please be my sponsor. I got abstinent pretty quickly, lost my abstinence pretty quickly. And I'll tell you how, because it relates to a bigger story of my abstinence journey. I went on a road trip and went through a drive-thru, got a food and said, you know what, I'm just gonna eat some of it and leave the rest. And what happened was I ended up eating all of it, like almost immediately, like stuffing it. I remember just feeling like crying and being like, why am I doing this to myself? So I did the right next thing, which I called my sponsor. I told her what happened. First question she asked me was, why are you on a road trip? So what I realized is that, you know, the root of my disease, one of the symptoms is this desire to just run away. And so I literally would do that. I would go on these long road trips and I'd say, oh yeah, I'm going to this audition or I had this job interview in Naples, which is like 2 hours away. Oh, I just needed a weekend. No, it felt like if I physically leave, then I can outrun all the demons that are chasing me that I don't even know how to face. You know, I don't even know how to deal with the discomfort and just sit in the feelings. So I'll just run. And not only did we say, okay, so no more drive-throughs, at least for now, but she was like, how about no more road trips? And that was huge for me because I was like, oh my God, I really have to sit here and face my life. But it was healing. And now about 11 years later, I celebrated my 11th year. Perfect. 11th year in recovery in September. I don't do road trips. In fact, I hate traveling. So this past year I've been like, fine, I'll just stay put. I definitely feel like I look forward to every day. I also understand that you're not happy all the time. Things aren't great all the time, and that's okay. I don't have that black and white thinking. Weight-wise, I lost about 40 plus pounds. I don't really look at that though, because I know it's more than the weight, and I know it came from really focusing on abstinence. My bottom line is no binging or purging with laxatives. But I also just, you know, have a sponsor, weigh and measure my food. I count days, but if I have a sloppy day, I don't start over, because that feeds into my perfectionism. And just all in all, take it one very patient, peaceful, and serene day at a time. So that's it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Italomi. And please welcome Erin P.
Hi, I'm Erin P. in Los Angeles. I'm a compulsive eater, anorexic, bulimic. I don't know where you are, Susan. I lost you and all these amazing women, but thank you so much for asking me to speak on a panel at the birthday party. This is I come to the birthday party in LA every year. My birthday and OA's birthday are the same, my belly button birthday, January 19th. So I feel a special kinship to the birthday party every year. And it's just incredible to get to do it with all the whole world this year. So welcome everyone from all over. And thank you, Susan, again for asking. It's a real honor. I've been in OA for about 5 years, and last week I took 4 years of abstinence. My abstinence is I don't binge, I don't vomit or purge with exercise or laxatives or anything like that, and then I don't starve. I think for me, or restrict meals, skip meals, those kinds of things. I think for me, I have the full spectrum, and I think the anorexia started before anything else did for me, and it actually manifested in when I was really young and just like a huge disgust for my body, and just having a body just felt wrong to me. But when it actually started really to show up in my body was when I was 17, in my teens, when I first kind of got this, I don't know, I lost a lot of weight due to a really bad breakup, and it just kind of like set off this thing in me where it was like all of a sudden I had this thing that I could use to try and control and manage and manipulate my life is what it felt like. And and then fast forward like 10 years later, and you know, I think it was around that time that I found OA, and I had come from another 12-step program, and that 12-step program had literally saved my life, because I was suicidal at that point and just didn't want to be on planet Earth anymore. I'd gotten lots of outside help and was just, you know, in a really, really dark place. And so I knew that the 12 steps worked. And in one of those meetings, someone had accidentally qualified as a compulsive overeater, accidentally. And I was like, what is that? And that's kind of how I got, came into OA. And when I first came in, you know, I should say that like those 10 years, it was like this battle of always trying to be thinner and never being thin enough ever. I mean, it was just like, I mean, I remember at one point it was like, once I'm two digits, once I'm below 100 pounds, then that will be enough. And I mean, I think back on that now, it's like, that is not the weight that I'm supposed to be for. It's just like insane that I would think that would be a healthy thing for me or a good thing for me. And so I would go through these super long bouts of not eating, starving myself in years. But always it would end up back in the food. And so it was like this cyclical thing of just in the food, out of the food, in the food, out of the food, damage control. I mean, whatever I could get my hands on, whether it be illegal drugs, illegal substances, anything to suppress my appetite, or, you know, exercising like a crazy person, you know, just anything I could do to try and get smaller and get smaller and get smaller, and it just never being small enough. And like that kind of life affords me no life, you know, just being completely obsessed and in my head, and just that, you know, I say it with kindness, but like really self-centered, you know, just all about me. Like I had no awareness of other people in my life and what was going on for other people, because I was just completely focused on myself, because I was powerless, you know, I was powerless over this disease. And that's what I learned in my first year of OA, was that I am powerless over this, and like I cannot do it on my own. I had tried everything and I was miserable, and it took a year of kind of like one foot in, one foot out. I don't really have a problem. Do I have a problem? I don't really have a problem. You know, it's kind of this like waffly, vague denial place. And,
Erin, you have 5 more minutes.
Thanks, Kelly. Thank you. So I just kind of just kept coming back to meetings and, hearing my story in the most, you know, places I would just never imagine to see my story, kind of like the last speaker was saying. And finally, like really, really surrendered, you know, that I have a problem, period. And I don't need to figure out how bad it is or how big it is or like compare it to everybody else's. Like, I just need to know that I have a problem. I'm powerless over food and my eating disorder. My life is unmanageable. And the only thing that's going to help me is a spiritual solution, because I tried everything else and nothing else worked. So the steps, working the steps with a sponsor, I can't speak highly enough of that. They changed my life. You know, they changed me. Like, I am a different person because of the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Like, it just makes me want to cry, all the gifts that this program has given me, because it gives me gifts I didn't know that I wanted. Like, I didn't know that I wanted to be able to connect with people. I didn't know that I wanted to be able to have real relationships with people, particularly women. That's why it's so amazing to be on this women's panel this morning. That's been one of the hugest gifts is, you know, I have 2 sponsors. I have a food sponsor and a step sponsor, and they both are the most incredible women in the world. Like, truly just amazing, amazing women. And they walk through, you know, one day at a time with me, getting better and seeking a spiritual solution, you know, and getting closer to a power greater than myself. And if you're new and the, you know, higher power stuff scares you, I just have to say, like, when I first came into 12-step rooms, like, I couldn't even hear the G word, I called it, like, God, like, don't talk to me about God. I can't. It was so triggering. And now it's like, I really got, like, it's no one else's but my own. Like, I really get to just get quiet with myself and find, like, what is it that's going to work for me? What is it that I want in a higher power, in this thing that's greater than myself, and lean into that, you know? And for me, it's being out near the ocean. It's watching sunsets. It's seeing little hummingbirds and butterflies and the beauty of this world that I just was blind to, because I was so in my brain and in between my ears, just back and forth, crazy thoughts all day long. So cultivating and creating a relationship with a higher power was really the biggest gift that the 12 steps gave me. And it says in step 12, you know, like having had a spiritual awakening. And then the other part of step 12 is being of service. And I didn't know how to be of service. Like I said, before coming to OA, I didn't know I wanted to be of service. And I'm a sponsor now to 3 of the like most incredible women. I mean, it's just, again, like those relationships that I'm able to develop and grow and nurture. It's just, it's amazing, you know? And we don't have to do any of it alone. If you're new, welcome, welcome newcomers. I am so happy that you're here. This program is amazing. And you don't have to do another day of this alone. My disease loves isolation. That's where it wants to be. It wants to be in a house alone with the shutters closed, with the food and with myself. And that is a dark and lonely place. And I'm just saying, especially like right now in the middle of the Zoom era, like you don't have to spend a minute alone. Like, there's literally a meeting somewhere in the world going on at all times. And for me, that just brings so much comfort. So I'm super, super grateful to this program. I really, the obsession with food, the obsession with body, the obsession with being thin has really lifted. I mean, there are some days where I'm a little, you know, I don't know, but it's never about the food. It's the canary in the coal mine, I heard. You know, it's just, if there's something going on with my food, there's something going on in my heart, there's something going on inside of me that wants to be heard, that wants to be it's talked about, you know. And that's what's so amazing about having relationships, is I pick up the phone and I tell some fellows or my sponsors, like, what's really going on with me? And my life changes, and I don't have to turn to the food and the eating disorder to get through life. I get to turn to my higher power and people around me that love me, and we get to walk through everything and anything together. And that's also the gift of this program, is like, someone's walked through it before me. Everything I've gone through, there's been at least one, if not more, people that have walked Aaron, whatever that is. Thank you so much. I'll just wrap up with someone's walked through it before me, and I just don't have to do anything alone today. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron. And please welcome Maria F.
Thanks, Nuala. Hi, everyone. My name is Maria F, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from County Dublin in Ireland. And yeah, just thanks to everybody behind the scenes here who, you know, this doesn't just happen. It takes hours and hours and hours of work. So just you, Susan, and everybody else who's made this happen, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. And yeah, you know, I'm laughing because I'm looking at the participants here, and there's 393 people here. And, you know, I couldn't share at a meeting when I came in, never mind share, you know, with this amount of people. So it's by the grace of God that I could be here today. So thank you for asking me. Yeah, I came into the rooms of OA in, and some of you have heard my story before, in August of 2011. And I came in absolutely beaten by the disease. You know, I had got into the ring every single day all my life, you know, with Mike Tyson. And every day I was beaten, you know, and I would get up and I'd get back into that ring again the next day, thinking that it would be different, that somehow, some way I was going to control and enjoy the food. And, you know, I suppose from my parents, you know, would have told me that I was always a problem with food, that from a young baby, and my dad would have said, you know, Marie, you just couldn't keep you full. You were always, always hungry. I suppose I first saw the evidence of the food when I was about 7, where I would start to gag on food at 7 or 8. And the progression of the disease then right through teenage years. And my weight would have fluctuated between, I know you do it in pounds and we do it in stone here, but I'll convert it. It was 200 pounds, between 200 pounds and I would be under 100 pounds. So I'd be where I couldn't walk, you know, and I would get a rash in my legs to where I would be so thin that my bones were sticking out. So that's where I went with the food. That's where the food brought me. And I never knew where it was going to bring me. And I didn't understand the disease. I was always just trying to manage it. Yeah, and I came into the rooms. I tried everything else. You know, I'd done all the swimming clubs, all the motivation things, all the coaching, all the everything. And I just, you know, I remember at a young age thinking there's something wrong with me, and I just felt different to other people. I just didn't feel like I fit in. And if you saw it was in my side of my head, you wouldn't like me either. That's where I was coming from, you know. And I remember as a kid, you're going to birthday parties, and I was always the last girl standing because the food meant more to me than the other people did or the other kids did. They'd be gone out to play and I'd be standing at the table just hoping nobody would notice that I wanted another slice of the cake and I wanted some more food because it was my friend, it was my best friend. And it worked, it absolutely worked because it gave me that ease and comfort that the big book talks about. And it worked at once every single time until it didn't, you know, until it didn't. And my first phone call was when I was 19 and, I was living in a flat and I remember, you know, coming off a binge, a bulimic at the time. And I called up the number, the OA number, and spoke to a woman and she kind of told me what the outline of the program was. And I thought, and I remember questioning, thinking, you never eat that kind of food. And she said, well, you know, just for today, I don't. Just for today, I don't. I thought, well, at 19, I wasn't in that. And it took me 27 more years before I put my bum on the seat of the room. And thank God for every other bite of those years, because it brought me to where I am. And today I'm a really grateful compulsive overeater. And, you know, when I came into the rooms, I was in trouble in every area of my life. I adore my husband, and I absolutely adore my children. And I was in trouble there, you know. And I had really, really hurt them. And this disease had really, really hurt them and brought my husband to his knees. And I came in such pain, such desperation. And I was willing to do, and I came in the back of another program that I'd been in for 12 years. And I tried to do the food in that fellowship, and it didn't work. And as someone on this line says, the credits don't transfer. You know, they just don't transfer. And when I came in, I was willing to do whatever was suggested. Because I was dying. I was absolutely dying with the food. Found a sponsor on the first night, actually, and put down the food very quickly, and just kept doing what she told me to do. You know, she told me to jump off a cliff. I swear to God, I would have done it.
Marie, because 5 more minutes.
Thank you, Kelly. I couldn't see any other way out. And today, you know, I say that you know, I live in the same house. I'm married to the same man, have the same kids, drive the same car, same type of car. And it's like night and day, you know, everything is so different. And yet nothing has changed. Materialistically in my life, nothing has changed. And yet everything has changed in me. And, you know, I always, when I'm sponsored, I always refer to page 52 of the big book, you know, where it talks about the bedevilments. And I could take every single one of them when I came in. And now I look at them as, you know, my barometer, my temperature for where I'm at, you know, spiritually. And when I came in, you know, you told me what my problem was, that I had a physical allergy and that I had a mental obsession. And that made sense, you know, that I had an allergy to certain food and certainly for me, ingredients. And unless I was prepared to put those down, I was going to have that, you know, that mental obsession was going to tell me time and time and time again, you know, I'd be okay. I'd be okay this time. And I got recovered. I went through the steps through the big book. It's the only way I went through them. I don't know any other way. It's how I sponsor us through the big book. And that's how I got my recovery. And, you know, when I came in, I had a faith in God, but no relationship with God. I believed in a higher power, but I had the kind of the bargain God, you do this, God, and I'll do that. You know, you didn't do this, I'm not doing that. I had a God for when things were going bad, you know, but I didn't really need him when it was okay, you know. And today it's not like that. I need my higher power for absolutely everything in my life today. I rely on my higher power for everything. And my higher power is definitely, I started working in a new center yesterday, and my higher power is my employer. You know, I just turn up and do whatever is, I ask in the morning in my prayer meditation, you know, how can I be of service today? What can I do today for God, you know? And the steps been a huge part of my life. And, you know, I suppose it was an idea in me, certainly, that, you know, you do the steps and then you're done, you know, and it's not, you know, it's that spiritual awakening that keeps on happening. You know, it's a spiritual awakening that keeps on keeping on. It's not a one and done. You know, certainly it's not for me. It's I grow my higher power every single day in that awakening. And a huge part of my program is sponsorship. And, you know, I would have thought, you know, how could you sponsor? And here we are, you know, what, 7,000 miles away and able to zoom in and be together. And I can do that with a sponsee. You know, all I need is a telephone and a big book, and the higher power is in the middle. You know, so we're just working together no matter where we are. And it has happened for our sponsored people in America, in Europe, in Ireland, in England. And God, it's the gift of God that the program works in. It's not me. I'm not doing anything. You know, I'm just carrying the message that was carried to me. That's all I'm doing. I suppose today it's living, isn't it? You know, living in 10, 11 and 12, you know. And I think, you know, for me, when I came in, the urgency, and I heard it on a podcast this morning, it reminded me, the urgency and the seriousness with which I took step one was the urgency and seriousness with which I was going to do the rest of the 12 steps. So until I fully conceded in my innermost gut, and you know, it's that Joanne and people, they would have talked about it on a podcast, you know, in my gut that I'm a compulsive overeater, nothing was going to change, you know, because if I thought there was a solution anywhere else, I was going to look for it and look for the easier, softer way, but there is none. This is the easier, softer way. The 12 steps are the easier, softer way. Believe me, they are, you know, and if you're a newcomer here, you know, what was said to me is don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle happens, you know, because I am a walking miracle. It's a walking miracle that I have the life I have today, and I wouldn't swap it for the world. You know, what do they say? You know, the worst days in the worst days in recovery are better than the best days in the food. And it's the truth. It's the absolute truth. Yeah, I have a life beyond my wildest dreams today. And, you know, as the big book says, rocketed into the fourth dimension. And I thought that was for other people. When I came into the rooms, I thought that's for other people, but that's not for me. And it's been my experience. And I just had to take the action, work these steps. You know, I worked them today like my hair is on fire, because I want to be in alignment with my higher power. You know, I want that alignment. I want to be spiritually fit, you know, and how I do that is by working the steps. And yeah, and just, I suppose, thinking at the, you know, when I came in, that food was my problem. You know, I really thought food is the problem. Yeah. Food is the symptom of, thank you. I finished on this. Food is the symptom of the problem. It was not my problem. My problem was my mind. You know, the main, what does it say in the big book? The main problem of the alcoholic centers in their mind. Lack of power was my dilemma. So if I don't have power, I need power. Yes. Yeah, so thank you so much for listening to me. Thank you.